sustain it, preserve it. To lead and guide us in the way that will honor you and manifest your glory to others. We need you, God, to hear our prayers, to answer according to your will. We need you, God, to empower us inwardly, that we may live a life outwardly that pleases you. We need you to forgive us each day. Your word reveals that your mercies are fresh in the every morning. Great is your faithfulness to us. As we go to your word, may your word go through us and change us, transform us from the inside out. May we be a people that only profess faith, but we possess faith. And we walk our faith out. And only that lives will be changed. Men and women will be drawn to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Speak, Lord, your people are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The gospel versus religion. A missionary to India tells a story regarding a time after he had finished preaching. A man approached him and said, "I can't understand you missionaries. You speak of India as the home of many religions, and they have over 500,000 religions, and yet you want to introduce still another one, which only adds to the confusion. Surely India has enough religion without Christianity." Missionary answered by saying, "Friend, I'm not interested in religion, but I'm deeply interested in the gospel. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't walk across the street for religion, but I'm willing to go around the world for the sake of the gospel. And there is a significant difference between the two, the gospel and religion. Religion is man-made. The gospel is God-given. Religion is what man does for God. The gospel is what God does for man. Religion is man's search for God. The gospel is God's search for man. Religion says that if we obey, he will love us. The gospel says that it is because God has loved us through Jesus Christ that we can obey. The gospel says that the world is filled with bad people and good people. But the gospel says that the world is filled with bad people who are either repentant or unrepentant. Religion is man trying to climb the ladder of good works. The gospel is God coming down in the person of Jesus Christ to draw us to him. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "He saved us not because of works religion and the gospel of Christ. I believe there are three primary differences. First, the difference is between doing versus being. Doing versus being. Second point, religion places emphasis on principles. The gospel emphasizes a person. Thirdly, religion emphasizes works. The gospel emphasizes grace. Let's look at number one, and that's the only one we're going to be able to look at today. But I want us to really explore this particular thought as we look at, am I religious without a relationship with God? Do I trust the gospel for my eternal destiny? Or do I trust what I can achieve and do for God in order to earn my way to eternal salvation? The difference is between doing versus being. Religion says this: do good, keep on doing good, and eventually you will become good. Religion places the prime emphasis upon your actions, your behavior, without considering your motives for what you do. Well, the gospel considers the motives for what a person does. Jesus told a group of religious people, you draw near to God with your lips, but your heart is far from you. So the gospel places the prime emphasis upon being. Religion says, tell the truth, keep telling the truth, and you will become honest. The gospel says, first of all, be honest in heart, and then you will tell the truth. There is an inward-outward work going on between religion and the gospel. Religion says, think good thoughts. You know, be positive. Keep on thinking good thoughts, and you will become pure in mind. The gospel says, become pure in mind, and then you will think good thoughts when you got the right mind. The prime emphasis for religion is on the external. The emphasis of the gospel is on the internal. This is the doing versus the being. This is the outward versus the inward. But you may say, isn't that too big of a dichotomy, Pastor? No, it's not too big of a dichotomy. It all verses 15 and 16. This is Paul in chapter 1 of Galatians defending the gospel and what the gospel is. And then he confronts his Jewish brothers and sisters about how they are manipulating people externally and trying to project themselves as down with the non-Jews. But when the religious Jews come around, they act like they're religious. In actuality, they were the Christian Jews. They were the believers. And Paul said this to them and to us. Paul says, Galatians 2, 15, 16, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through what? Faith in Jesus Christ. And then he says, so we also have believed in Christ Jesus as Jewish people, he's saying to them, in order to be what? Justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because the works of the law, no one will be justified. No one will be made righteous before God. When was Abraham, who was from Ur of the Chaldees, he was a Chaldean, he became the progenitor of the Hebrew or Jewish people. But when was he justified? When the law came? Way before the law. Genesis 15, 6, 16. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So, religion says, work hard, do your best, be as ethical, be as moral, be as good, be as kind, and hopefully, one day you might make it. The gospel says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Oh, you see the difference, beloved? Oh, there's a big difference. Now, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace we have been saved. Well, see, we've been saved by grace. But then people get caught up in churchianity, and they start to build additional rules and laws and regulations so a person can feel like they're saved. Don't you know there are a lot of people that go to church and they baptize their children feeling that they will be saved? We don't know if they're going to be saved until they confess Jesus as Lord. They believe in their heart, God raised them from the dead, they'll be saved. But they believe baptism somehow is something you should do religiously to give assurance to the parent that my child won't make it in. People use tithing and giving as a way to feel like I'm investing all this money into God's work. I know God's going to have my name on this at the door, and I'm going to walk in, but because of what I'm doing. Don't get caught up in doing apart from being. Jesus said, you don't do to be saved, you be saved. You be born again. You don't do nothing to be born again. Did you do anything to be born? It's all done for you. You were acted upon. The sperm and the egg all acted upon your existence. That's how it is spiritually. The Spirit of God and the Word of God acts upon your dead state and quickens you, makes you alive to God through faith in Christ. That's what everyone who hears the gospel, whether they're 10 years old, 6 years old, 7, 8, 20, 30, 50, 100, you get in by faith apart from works.
out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Now, the good heart is a regenerated heart. It is a saved, forgiven heart, right? It's a new heart. It's a new mind. It's a transformed heart. See, the gospel transforms our motives, not just our behavior. Religion only reforms. The gospel transforms the heart, the mind, the will, and the soul, and the behavior. See, Jesus announced, beloved, seven woes. And when Jesus says woe, he's not singing a song. He's declaring judgment. A certain judgment, a fearful judgment upon those who reject his truth. And in Matthew 23, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 13 through 15. I was talking to my son. I said, I'm working on this message called Gospel versus Religion. He said, isn't Christianity a religion? I said, you need to come to church so you can hear what it is and what it's not. He's not here. There is a difference between religion and the gospel. This is what Jesus said to religious leaders. When you see that phrase Jews in the Bible, when they're talking to Jesus, it doesn't mean all the Jewish people. There was about, I think, 6,000 religious leaders in the nation of Israel during the time of Christ. And those 6,000 leaders, you know, Levites, come from that tribe. They were Pharisees, they were scribes, they were workers in the temple, but they were the religious. They dressed a certain way, they talked a certain way. And these are the people that Jesus confronted most of the time. Not all the Jews, but the Jewish religious population. Because that was the group that always confronted Jesus. So in Matthew 23, let's begin at verse 13. He says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Listen to what he says to them. You shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Look, you're stopping those from going in, and you're not even in yourself. Then he said, verse 15, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you travel across sea and land to make one single proselyte or disciple. easy to answer. God created chickens. Not eggs on the fifth day of creation. Go read your Bible. Fifth day of creation. Sixth day he made man. Seventh day he rested. It's in the book. But anyway, you can't have an egg without a chicken. Come on, somebody. So we got to ask the question about this religion and gospel, about works and fruit, cause and effect. We gotta answer those questions. What comes first in the life of the church? Which is the cause and which is the effect? Which is the root and which is the fruit? Paul makes it clear in Ephesians 2:10 that good works are not the cause, but the result of our salvation. Paul said in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his masterpiece, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." That's not the cause. That's the effect. That's not the root. That's the fruit. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. Matthew chapter 12 contains Jesus' hardest rebuke of the religious leaders. The immediate context of Matthew chapter 12 is this criticism that they pushed on him, that you're committing blasphemy. You attribute a miracle of Christ to Satan. And then Jesus explains how actions demonstrate a person's inner heart. He says to the Pharisees in Matthew 12, 33-35, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit, you brood of vipers. It's not nice to call people saints. Jesus did. Because Jesus was dealing with saints. He said, you brood of vipers. Vipers are the most venomous, poisonous snake on the planet, along with the mamba. So he said, how can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The person, the good person, out of his good treasure, his good heart, brings forth good. That's the regenerated, saved man. And that evil person, that religious man, out of his evil treasure, he brings forth evil. It would be futile, foolish, empty to try to make the tree good by making its bad fruit better. In this analogy, beloved, the tree is a man's heart. In the analogy of the tree's fruit are the words that a man speaks from his mouth. In order to speak good words, the heart must be first made good. Proclaiming the gospel gets to the heart of the matter, because the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. The gospel is this, beloved. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dare to believe. Isn't that true? We are, let me say it again, more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dare to believe. Yet, at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dare to hope. Because of the gospel. C.S. Lewis.